Welcome back. Episode 6 of the Grapes and Gorak show. We're waiting for the Vikings 53-man roster to come out.
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock. Should have been out. Well, they're supposed to be down to 53 at 3 o'clock. Yeah. So.
But like you said, last year it was 321, the year before 351. So we're getting about that time. But we'll jump into some other news right away. This morning, yeah, Khalil Mack got traded to the Bears for 2 firsts, a third, and a conditional fifth. Yeah. And the Raiders also got back a second.
No, they gave back a second.
The Bears also got back a second.
Which, your Raiders, who are clearly terrible, that pick's probably going to be top of the second round.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't make any sense that it's like trade value. You trade one of the best defensive players in the game, and then you're also giving up a high draft pick.
It's always funny when that happens. It's like, why don't you just not take like the third and a conditional pick and just do 2 firsts for Khalil Mack? Like, why are we?
Yeah, why are you jumping up and down the draft board? Like, you really think you're third? Like, you're accumulating assets, but are your third and fifth going to be relative to that second round pick?
I feel like part of what that is like you got the Bears who are going, well, we think that the Raiders are going to suck and John Gruden's an idiot and this pick could be a good second rounder. And on the other side, the Raiders are going, we're going to be good because we're, you know, they think they're going to be. And then so they're like, well, we'll give them it's going to be a late second rounder. And it's like perception, but.
And the Raiders are probably thinking, you know, the Bears are still with Khalil Mack 1 year away from being in the playoffs. So they're going to get, you know, a teener pick. Yeah, and then they'll have their own pick, so maybe they're bad. So they're thinking, you know, we can get 2 top 20 players, and right off the bat, that could jumpstart this thing.
And I don't even know what started this nonsense. Obviously, it's John Gruden and whatever. If they mismanaged what kind of money they had, or somehow they.
I wonder if it happened before Gruden even got there. You know, giving Carr that big extension, and maybe they're going like.
Reading that Carr took less money because he thought that Gabe Jackson and. Oh. Khalil Mack were coming up, and he wanted to make sure they had enough to sign him. So,
well, I guess, you know, Derek Carr did tweet this morning, no way. Like,
he's like, wait. Are you kidding me? We just traded our best player?
Yeah. And, you know, they were already one of the worst defenses in the league with Khalil Mack. So, and, like, some people are saying that's why John Gruden wanted to trade him. But, you know, a talent like Mack is once in a generation. Well, like, you build around that guy for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, how old is he?
28.
Yeah,
so he's entering his prime right now.
I don't
now.
Know what you're doing. And also, they're so, like, they're like going down 2 different pathways. So you trade Mack for future picks, but then you sign Jordy Nelson. You know, you sign.
You trade for Martavis Bryant. Yeah, a third round pick.
You go for Derek Johnson, like a 37-year-old linebacker. Like he went for a Doug Martin. Like he went for these veterans
to help you win right now.
And then just unless it's like a whole culture thing, like well, we're gonna change the culture, but who
could
knows.
Be that. Or did he kind of after four preseason games go? All right, this roster is not good. Like, I have to blow it all up. So, well, there could be that.
Yeah,
but
it could
at
have
the
been
same
that. But
time,
they also didn't have Khalil Mack from the get-go. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's
he's an impact player. You don't trade impact players in their prime.
I know. Well, yeah, and it's like it seems like everyone's kind of getting on Gruden, but it might be deserved. Like, it just seems like he's just mismanaging. I mean, like you mentioned the Bryant thing, they traded a third for Bryant, and he got cut today.
Yeah,
he's gonna get suspended.
Yeah,
what are they doing? I don't like. It just seems like they're completely. They traded what? Who did the quarterback? AJ McCarron,
a fifth round pick for McCarron.
Yeah, so like,
who was not? I mean, he was a free agent, was not a commodity in free agency.
Yeah, didn't get. Why didn't you just sign him?
Yeah, why you a fifth?
I mean, maybe he wanted to go to Buffalo because he wanted a chance to start, but like, I don't know. It's kind of like
it's a mess.
They just
I would hate
so
to be
bad.
A Raiders fan. Can you imagine? Oakland's only got two, three years left until they move to Vegas, and now you're going to be rebuilding.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think just what 2 years ago they were the hot team.
I saw that it was it was Christmas Eve 2016. It was the day Derek Carr got hurt. And they were like Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, they were like the top AFC team besides like the Patriots. But they had the good offensive line. They had Amari Cooper. You know, they obviously had the young quarterback. And now it just all falls apart.
18 months later, they're trading their best defensive player, who I believe won defensive player of the year that year.
Yeah, it must have been that year when they were. So Well, and like you said earlier today, we were both thinking, just please don't trade him to the Packers.
Yeah, I went to bed last night going, just don't let me wake up in the morning and see that he's in purple or in green and yellow. I just don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Never thought about
the Browns. Even think about the Bears.
Or the Bears, yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just, it kind of reminds me of the Jay Cutler trade. It was kind of, because we were a little bit in, you know, involved in that as far as like the Vikings needed a quarterback, and then they're the Bears. They come and scoop him up. So, you know, NFC just keeps getting better. Ridiculous. Yeah. Like, why is it always the NFC teams getting better? You know, the Bears already had a good defense. Now they're adding
Khalil Mack.
One of the best pass rush. Like,
yeah,
who's him? I mean, Von Miller.
J.J. Watt went healthy.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, as far as outside guys, it's really just. Yeah, so what?
Top two?
Yeah.
I mean, you can argue he's better than Von Miller. He could be the best pass rusher.
And we have Rashad Hill blocking on that side.
Yeah.
So that should go well.
Yeah, that's scary because, you know, Leonard Floyd on the other side isn't a joke.
Yeah, well, they're no name defense, but like not like a bunch of stars, but were pretty good last year. Then they had Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I think.
And now you have Khalil Mack. Like,
I think when we were talking about over-unders and everything, I brought up that the Bears had a top 10 defense and caught you off guard because, you know, the Bears were so bad last year. You never even assumed it was on
both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And their team probably still comes down to Trubisky. But, I mean, they've got some pieces where even if they move on from him, he isn't good.
Yeah.
They're young and they're...
And their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, like, he's really good. He was the Niners defensive coordinator when they were good under Harbaugh with Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Alden Smith.
That's where he...
Yeah. You
know, that was a really good defense, yeah.
I mean, they were top 10, top 5 all the time as well. So he's kind of building something good, and he's a holdover from John Fox.
He kept, yeah. Well, because Nagy is more of an offensive guru type. So.
You know, yeah, no, that Bears defense is going to be good. It sucks. It sucks that we have to play them twice a year. I mean, now you've got four good teams in the NFC.
Yeah, North. And I don't know if that immediately makes them, like, a good team, but it... I thought they were already kind of on the ascension, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's just
They looked like they were gonna hover around 500. Now I think they're gonna be a 500 team, and you know, come the end of the year, they could spoil a lot of playoff teams' hopes, you know, because the later they get in the season, the more they're gonna gel and the harder they're gonna be to
beat. So I don't know. I'm sick of the NFC. Just all the good teams are in the NFC. Like, there's what, like the Cardinals and the Bucks that are like clearly bad.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the rest of the teams could be good. The Seahawks probably could be pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's just.
But yeah, I mean, in the AFC, you can count the teams on one hand that you're scared of.
There's three teams in the AFC East that are trash.
Yeah. So. I mean, you're scared of the Patriots, the Chiefs, maybe.
Their D's terrible. Like, they're not even like a well-rounded team. So
the Steelers. I
think the Chargers could be good.
Jags.
But again, that's like another team where it's like they're just all defense, and then their offense is so suspect. But
yeah, you're not really just like scared of anyone unless it's the Patriots, really.
Yeah.
So. Every other team is going, I've got a shot, or they're just trash.
And there's just not obviously bad teams in the NFC the way there is in the AFC. Like, there's just clearly just some really bad teams. I mean,
you get good teams that have an off year, and you're going, whoa, how did... I mean, I don't think the Cowboys were very good, but I know them going 9-7 caught a lot of people off guard last year.
I think they're going to be bad, so I guess that's another one. I don't see them being very good this year.
No, I don't either.
They cut their kicker. One of their best players, really.
Yeah, scored most of their points all the time because they can't score touchdowns.
I think I saw he was the second most accurate kicker in history.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Well, he's
maybe if Carlson doesn't work out, we can sign Dan Bailey.
Yeah,
hopefully Carlson hit all his field goals the last preseason game.
Right on, yeah.
They weren't far field goals. They were short.
But doesn't matter.
Yeah, drilled them, so.
But yeah, and then another thing that happened this week was Teddy got traded. Teddy got traded to the Saints.
NFC team getting another player.
Yeah,
of course,
you just get good players. Doesn't matter where they play, you just get good players.
So, and they traded a third and
got a
sixth and wait, how did that go? So they Saints traded gave a, up a third and got a sixth and Teddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
good deal by both. I think good deal for both teams.
I think good deal for both.
The Saints solidified their backup spot.
And I think that was the number one part of this trade. Like, I don't know as far as, like, long-term and stuff, but I think what the Saints wanted to avoid was being the Packers of last year. Because if Breeze goes down, that's their team's done. And their team's too good to risk it all. It's even like when we Bridgewater went down and we had Sean Hill. It was like, well, that was stupid because now we either are going to be terrible or we have to give up picks to go get Sam Bradford. So by getting Bridgewater, they don't have to go to Tom Savage, who was the backup before Bridgewater got there. So I think that's like the main purpose of the trade. I do think he's going to be there long term. You think there's a chance?
I do, but it all depends on Teddy at that point. And I think if Teddy signs an extension, Breeze has said, yeah, when my 2 year deal is up, like I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's hard for me because like if Breeze, you know, they play out this season and Breeze stays for the second year of that. Why? I just don't know why Teddy would sign an extension with the Saints.
Unless Breeze says, "Yep, for sure, I'm done after this."
I would have to think that Teddy would have to really like it to sit as a backup for another year, instead of go signing with a different team where he could start next season.
And like, you know, you hear all these good things about Breeze, but could you really trust him if he's still playing at a high level and he misses the Super Bowl just barely again? You're telling me he might not go, you know, my word means nothing. I want another ring.
Yeah, maybe he ends up wanting to play for 3-4 more years and Teddy just, you know, part of me thinks it's like a bonus if they get to keep Bridgewater around. You know, maybe Bridgewater tests the market and no one wants to sign him as a starter.
Yep.
So then it's like, okay, I'll go wait behind Breeze another year. I like the situation with Sean Payton and that offense and stuff. But I could also see them, they traded a third. I mean, it wasn't really a third because they also gave up a sixth. So we'll say like, I mean, still like maybe like a late third or however you do that. But if they let Teddy walk and they don't sign someone in free agency, they could just get that third back.
True.
In compensatory. And I don't think the Saints are going to sign many free agents because I think they're capped out pretty well. Yep. So in the end, they might just end up like renting Teddy Bridgewater for nothing.
But I mean, just having a solid backup. I mean, I think trading a third round pick is a steep price for a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, like you don't want to end up
like the Packers, or you know, by getting ahead of it, it's you don't get gouged like we did by the Eagles.
Yeah,
it's by us waiting so long to get a real backup. The Eagles are like, all right, well, first round pick,
the going rate,
and we gave up like a fourth, for Sage Rosenfels, who was supposed to be like a starter, but then Brett Favre showed up. Teams give up, they give up for McCarron a fifth.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, for a backup QB, they gave up a fifth. For a better backup QB, you give up a third. I don't think it's that crazy, especially when they can easily recoup that pick.
Yeah.
Or they can hopefully re-sign him and they have a quarterback of the future, you know? Yeah.
And I think it's a good landing spot for Teddy. I mean,
yeah, I think it's a great spot. I mean, great offense.
You really can't get much better.
Young star receiver. I mean, if he does stick around there, a great running back, Kamara. I mean,
Sean Payton. I mean, I'm just going from, let's just say he leaves after this year. Great spot for him to pick the brains of Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
Yeah, even if he does move on, he's like got to spend a year under that system.
Exactly. Like all the things he can take with him and like share. And I don't know. I think Teddy,
And long term, I personally wouldn't. I mean, I'm like some Saints fan or anything, but I wouldn't mind him on the Saints. It would really, I'd really be pissed if, like, say Mitchell Trubisky sucks this year, and then Teddy Bridgewater becomes a free agent and he signs with the Bears. I'm gonna be so.
That would suck.
Yeah,
because I mean,
I prefer him in the AFC, but if he's on the Saints, okay, well, that's cool, whatever.
Yeah,
good luck. Hope he plays well, but like. No, in division, I'm not going to want that at all.
No, I mean, I don't care who he goes to from here on. Like, I didn't like that he was in this with the Saints. Like, I'm not a huge Saints fan, but you know, it could be worse. It could be a lot of other teams like the Bears or it's just anyway.
It's really just the Bears because obviously the Lions and the Packers aren't moving up from their that's quarterbacks. True. Like, if it's going to be any NFC team, just keep it out of our division, and it's just really the Bears. So,
because I guess that's right. Rodgers did sign a huge extension. Yeah, I forgot about
the highest paid
player in the ever. Was it? Yeah, 32, 33, 34 million dollars.
So he got
a year.
Signed. Aaron Donald got signed. Odell Beckham got signed.
$86 million by the end of the 2018 calendar year.
That's insane.
Unbelievable. $28 million over the next three
months.
And
he's there till he's 40, I think.
Yep.
So
I heard Rodgers makes all Aaron Rodgers has to do is wake up the next day and he gets $440,000 a year or a day. Unbelievable. Just wakes up and he has a brand new house in his account.
Maybe they should build a team around him because, you know.
I mean, yeah, I get that they got an extra first round pick next year, right? For trading.
Yeah, the Davenport with the Saints.
But I mean, they're so bad at drafting. I mean, that's a lot of money on one player, and they already can't
able to build much around him for years. I mean, that team was terrible without him. The two corners they took this year look pretty good, though, in the preseason.
Yeah, Josh Alexander. And Alexander.
Yeah, they've looked really good, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yep, but
yeah, Teddy to the Saints.
Teddy to the Saints.
I'm gonna bet that he does not end up signing with them long term. I think he'll just go into free agency and sign with. I mean, I'd have to think like Miami is gonna be looking for a quarterback. Tampa Bay could be looking for a quarterback. Places where he could go start next year and not have to sit for a whole nother year behind you know, Drew Brees or whoever it is. But
yeah,
and maybe not. Maybe teams won't want to see him play.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think he looked great in preseason, so.
Yeah,
that should be good enough.
He didn't look like he missed a beat. Like, it almost looked like he stood in there in some plays a little too long just to kind of take a hit.
Yeah,
like, you know,
keep that, make sure that knee's working and everything. Yeah. So
I mean, yeah, it's good for them. Good for him. That'll be nice. Vikings added an offensive lineman.
We talked about that. We talked about how we thought if there's any spot where a trade would happen, it'd be offensive line. And we even talked about how we didn't know how to, with our 53-man projections, like, you have to have a backup center.
Yep.
And, like, Edison was really the only guy. Yeah. But it felt kind of weird to have him because, like, going into the offseason, it was like, well, Edison's just a camp body. But yep. Now, so they traded for Brett Jones from the Giants.
Yep. And he started 14 games last year for the Giants?
Yeah, I think it's what it was.
12, 14. And
looks like he lost his job the offseason, so he was going to be kind of like a interior backup.
Yep.
But when I was reading, like, the Giants fans really liked him. Like, they were all saying, like, why did we just trade our only good backup?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on there? So, and he can play center guard, kind of a Joe Berger, like,
yep,
similar type. Or even Nick Easton, like, when we got him, he could play center guard.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if he's on his last year of his deal or anything, but I think long-term he could solidify a need on it as an interior lineman.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Elfline's not going to play week one.
Yeah, I just saw that he's going to come off the pup, but he's not going to play week one. So my guess is it will be Jones. I know Isadora played center, but
last game.
But I think Jones will probably be my guess. I don't even know if Edison make the team. We'll see when the 53. It looks like it's been released, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I think Brett Jones was traded though because of money. He was paid quite a bit for like a backup, and then right after that they did the Odell deal, and the Giants are one of the few teams that are right up against the cap. So I think Shermer was looking for a team that he knew could, you know.
A sixth round pick.
And that's exactly what we kind of thought they'd give up. You know, toss someone a sixth round pick to get a veteran backup in here. I mean, it makes total sense. So I like the move.
Yep, I do too. He graded out pretty well from Pro Football Focus and his pass protection and stuff like that. So
he's from Canada, from the CFL, I think, right?
I believe so.
They showed a picture of him at the Metrodome with a load hold jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like the closest stadium to wherever he lives up in Canada. Yep. So he got a Load Holt jersey, probably the one of the few people I've ever bought one of them jerseys. Yeah,
but you know, he's a lineman, so he had to get a lineman jersey. Looked a lot better than a Matt Khalil jersey too.
Matt Khalil, do you hear he's like out indefinitely?
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
And Jerick McKinnon might have just went out for the season they're worried about. So I don't know, former Vikings not doing so well injury wise.
Good for us though. And I wonder with the whole Jet thing, because it was just in practice or just in workouts or something like that.
He got back from his injury and then he got hurt in practice.
I wonder if it has something to do with him putting on too much weight on a small frame in such a short period
of time.
Yeah,
like now he's just getting, you know, those muscle injuries where it's, could be.
I mean, that happens. You hear about that all the time. Like, you don't want to get too big too fast and, like, maybe
too much stress on his body or something. Well, and it sounds like it's a torn ACL is what they're fearing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because looked like he was going to be in a big role.
When we first talked about it, we thought, we talked about how, like, the 49er fans, they thought they were getting, like, some new star running back, like, this do-it-all. Like, I mean, he's a good player, but we kind of thought a little overrated, and now if they don't have him, they're back to Matt Breida and Elf Morris. So, we could hit some other cuts that were interesting. Michael Johnson, I think we actually mentioned rumored, did get cut.
Yep.
So do you think there's any possibility the Vikings
Yeah, I do.
I think there's a chance, but
I think we'll kick the tires, but it also depends on how the 40-man ends up, or 53-man shakes out.
So, do we want to jump into the 53, or should we hit some of the...
Let's keep rolling with a couple of the other cuts. I know Gillisley got cut from the Patriots.
The running back?
Yep,
back. Well, Jeremy Hill basically beat him on, huh?
Yep, yep. Like we mentioned, Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
Dan Bailey.
A third.
Yeah, a third.
So bad.
They just gave that away. So bad. To the Steelers of all teams, too.
Yeah, good work. Yeah, no. And then, of course, they draft James Washington, who already looks better than Martavis Bryant. Yep. So that's what they do. Any other big names that were let go?
Robeson. Did we mention Robeson?
Well, we haven't, yeah, because we haven't really jumped into the 53. But yeah, Brian Robeson. That was pretty surprising. You know, it would have been less surprising if it wasn't Brian Robeson. Like, because last year, I thought his play was, by the second half of the season, he'd get in there, he wouldn't get any pressure, really.
Yeah.
You know, he was just kind of not doing much. So if it was just, you know, on face value, like skill-wise, I think more people would have left him off their 53-man projections. But he's like a leader. It's Brian Robeson. He's been with us. But interesting to see we're not playing favorites for, you know.
Yeah, true.
Just talent is winning out.
Yeah, I mean, and back in the day, you know, we had Greenway, you know, take a pay cut. We kept him around for one more year.
And I think
now we got Robeson to take a pay cut. And then it was like, you know, like, we like you. Like, you're good in the locker room, good to have around. But at the same time, like,
we can't keep you around just because you've been here a long time and you're a leader.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not as good as the young guy that's coming up behind you, like,
sorry. Like, I don't want to lose a Bauer or Weatherly or Holmes or anyone.
Yeah, because we're trying to, you know, I don't know, play to a organizational favorite or, you know, like, so, you know, a little cutthroat, but you do what you do to have the best team.
Yeah.
And it's same thing with Terrence Newman. He got let go. Well, he retired.
Yeah, he probably
I'm sure he was told he's not going to make the team. And it's like, all right, but he's immediately going to join our coaching staff.
Yeah, and so, I think that's a great gap.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I mean, it's kind of what his role would have been because I think he had been passed by Hughes and Mack.
Yeah.
And with the addition of Ioka, you don't really need him at safety. So his role was sort of going to be, I mean, he might have even been inactive if he'd have made the team on game days.
True.
You know? So he'd have been like a player coach. Let's just make him a coach and keep another young guy.
Yep.
We haven't checked the 53, but my guess is Holton Hill probably made it. So, you know, that right there, it's like.
That's huge. That's huge to have Newman around for Holton Hill.
Yeah. You get to keep Holton Hill and you get to keep the veteran coach presence. You keep them both. It's kind of nice. I wouldn't mind seeing Robeson stay around.
I wouldn't mind it at all either.
I see him all the time on the sidelines talking to young guys, you know, coaching them up and stuff. So that'd be, you know.
Yeah, if that's something we can do, if that's something he's interested in, that'd be great. At least just for the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a great thing to be able to do. Because, again, that's like what those two value, it's what they had left.
Yeah, they were 36 and 39.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, you're really here just for a veteran presence.
Yeah, I mean,
Newman, if we can keep that and keep a young guy, heck, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, Newman was literally 3 days away from turning 40 as a D-back.
Insane.
Yeah, like that's crazy. Crazy to think and that he was able to stay around that
long. Just goes to show you, too, the players just love Zimmer. To just retire and immediately join his coaching staff. Like,
yeah, probably didn't even have to think twice about it. He was probably like, yo, you know, we're going to cut you, but I'd like you to stick around and join my coaching staff. And he's probably like,
let's do it. I'll retire and call it. You know,
He's thinking like, wait, so I can stick around, be around this team.
Yeah.
And I don't have to take the hits anymore. Like as a 40-year-old man, absolutely.
I wonder if the difference is with Robeson is maybe he might try to go to another team for a year.
Okay. Yeah.
If he's not, cause he didn't announce retirement.
Yeah, that's true.
So, or maybe hang out for agency. Say we have an injury. Maybe we bring him back or something. I don't know. So those are two of the more surprising. I mean, we didn't even mention losing either of those
two. No, I mean, I think it was kind of like an afterthought. Like, it was like, you can see one of those guys just with how deep we were. But, like, they would have been, like, last cuts thinking, like, all right.
And when you're going through and you're doing it, you're kind of like, well, of course they're going to be here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, they've been around for a while. Like, it's just, it made sense.
So.
But it's, I mean.
Our oldest player is now Anderson Dejo at 31 years old.
And that's crazy to me. Like.
Yeah. I think the two players that have been here the longest are Everson Griffin and Marcus Sherrills.
Yeah,
if Sherrills is still on the 53, I'll have to, when we pull
him.
I have not heard he got cut, so I assume he's still around. especially because they did cut BB. So unless they were going to have Hughes do all the punt returning,
yeah,
because I mean, the only other one I thought actually looked good back there was BB, and it looked like he's not making at least the 53 initial. So,
But yeah, I mean, I guess we might as well just roll right into the 53. Maybe
I got it pulled up right here. Oh, so you do? I already see one thing that surprises me. So, but we'll start with we'll just run through each position and kind of talk
right,
about
right on
quarterbacks. It's the three we thought.
Okay,
you know, we both guessed Cousins, Simeon, Slaughter. Simeon still scares me. He did not look good in the fourth game again. I mean, Kyle Sloter looks so much better than him, but it sounds like Zimmer's sticking with Simeon as his backup. People asked him at press conference, and he was like, no, Simeon's my backup. So could just be one of those things where he's playing with the second team, and sometimes he's been going up still against some other team's starters, and some of the, you know, Sloter's playing with fourth stringers, but he's also going against some real backups, you know, real bad players from other teams, so...
No, which is the scary part. Like, he doesn't look good against backups. But Slaughter does.
I like him.
I do too.
Dude just looks good. So I'm glad. I'm glad he's obviously on the roster. I didn't think he wouldn't be, but I think he could be our future, like, long term backup, or maybe we develop into something and trade him, or who knows. I mean, Kirk Cousins is only on a 3-year deal, so if it doesn't go well, we'll be looking for a quarterback.
True.
In the not so far future, but. Quarterback was pretty a pretty easy one. I think we all thought the three guys were going to make it.
You wanted to cut Simeon because he looked so bad, but at the same time, you knew he wasn't going to get cut.
Yeah, we knew he wasn't going to. And we don't see practice. We don't see, all we see is games. If, last year, Case Keenum looked terrible in preseason too.
Yeah.
And he played very well for us. So we did have, I don't know if you saw the very end of the fourth quarter, they had the fourth string quarterback played a little bit.
No.
Pujols or...
Yeah.
So he didn't make it. Didn't make the cut. Surprising. Running backs. This is the one where I already see something.
I just pulled it up too, and we kept five running backs.
Yeah, if you include Ham, it's five running backs. So they were not willing to let Rock Thomas or Mike Boone.
No, but it sounded like they didn't even have to think about cutting Boone.
He played so well. After we saw that his injury wasn't anything major, and he played the fourth preseason game, and.
No.
Rock Thomas was banged up, so we didn't see as much of him later in the preseason. Still made the team, so they must really like.
Yeah, he must have showed something really special in practice.
To not even expose him to waivers, because I thought maybe you cut him and just get him on the practice squad. Well,
yeah, there's obviously something we don't know about him.
Well, I couldn't have been more off, because in episode one, I guess we'd only keep three running backs, and that included Ham. So
that's true, but I kept Mac Brown, so shows what I know as well.
Yeah, we were both, it's all right. But so yeah, five running backs already there.
Yep. We cut Blake Bell earlier today, so we knew we were only going to be keeping three tight ends.
Yeah, really, I was wondering about Conklin, and he made the team. So yep. Conklin, Rudolph, Morgan.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not too impressed with Conklin.
No.
Hopefully he develops, but the other two tight ends are obviously the ones that are going to play. So
it's just weird, we can't hit on that third tight end spot.
Never, yeah. Bucky Hodges, Mike Cole Pruitt. Yeah,
Pruitt made the Texans roster.
Oh, did he? 53? Wow.
Yeah, he still lives.
You know who I noticed last week we were playing against Seattle? Willie Beavers.
Yep, he got cut.
Oh,
he got cut.
That's too bad for Willie.
Yep.
Thought he would have.
But I think he...
from the Seahawks.
If I remember correctly, I think I saw that he got a pass thrown. I think he played tight end, and he got a pass thrown.
Oh, my. That's ridiculous.
So that was pretty funny.
So three tight ends. I think last week we both guessed that would be what we would end up doing, because Blake Bell had just shown...
He can't catch.
He can't... Yeah, he just isn't reliable out there. And the other guys were not much of a no-namer, so... No. Receiver,
a little surprise here. Potentially. We kept five. We kept five.
Yeah, we did keep five receivers. Which
you kind of figured we would only keep five. We kept Coley, Diggs, Thielen, Treadwell, and Zylstra.
Yeah, he played well the fourth preseason game, so I think he kind of, and he had been one where they had talked him up, like the beat writers and stuff, that he'd look good in practice. So. Uh-huh. They pushed Kendall right off the roster.
Yeah, that's the little surprise there.
That was, we both talked about that he really hadn't shown anything, that he hadn't done much, but it was kind of like, he is a veteran. Maybe they, and, just didn't make the team.
And from what I read on Twitter, it sounds like even though we didn't see Coley a lot, the coaching staff loves what he brings to the table.
And he had the first preseason game looked good, and they from it sounds like it, they really like him. So,
well, and Zylstra, I mean, he's from Spicer, Minnesota, so that's pretty cool. Oh, we've got two white hometown receivers on the roster. It's pretty cool. I don't care who you are, that's impressive.
And I also think Treadwell's just improvement all around helped push Kendall Wright off the team, because now you've just put Adam Thielen to the slot.
I think it speaks a lot of Treadwell's progression over the last year. Being able to be confident enough to cut Wright and keep uncertainties in Treadwell, Zylstra, Coley, and Zylstra. Mm-hmm. You know, you've kind of got potentially three question marks, but they seem more than comfortable in rolling those.
Could go with the more sure thing of Kendall Wright, where you know what he is, but maybe he's limited upside, mm-hmm. and we decided to go the other way. Yep. Kind of the same thing it's almost like a whole philosophy, our whole roster. Like, instead of sticking with Robeson and Newman, they're like, no, we want to continue to get younger, continue to get, you know.
And it makes sense, because they're not complacent. It's almost like they don't see it as a 2-3 championship window.
Yeah, it's not a 1 year like the Favre years where it was like, we need to go all in.
They're planning 5-6 years down the road, mm-hmm. like guys that, you know, they may not be like the perfect death piece right now, but they'll at least be able to play a role 3 years down the line when we don't have a lot of cap space to sign somebody mm-hmm. in free agency to provide that depth.
Yeah. So we're what, four positions in? Quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver. And I think I've already count three undrafted free agents that made the team.
Because
Rock Thomas, Mike Boone, and Brandon Zylstra were all UDFAs.
Yeah, because Zylstra, he wasn't a tryout, but because I know he played in the CFL last year, didn't he?
Yeah. So he wasn't another guy. So he's more of a free agent, I guess.
But still, he was never drafted by anyone.
Yeah, like, so just still to show, because we've made that an emphasis. I think because what happens when you start dishing out these big contracts, you can't pay for expensive depth. You got to go find guys in the undrafted, in the CFL, and it's... It looks like it's paying off so far.
Didn't we spend like near the top slot on Holton Hill and Mike Boone?
It might have been both of them. I know we spent a record amount for us. Yeah. The last couple of years we've been doing it, so it's...
Well, you got to hit on, like you said, you got to hit on guys like that who are talented and slide out of the draft. Because mm-hmm. there's always good... Seems to always be at least one or two good players.
Yeah, last year I think it was Collins and Eric Wilson that made the team.
Yep.
So let's go to...
Offensive lineman.
Offensive line. Do you got all of them, or are they broken down? I got them broken down.
I've just got all of them.
Okay. So let's just start with the tackle position.
All right. We got Aviante Collins.
Yep.
Riley Reif, Brian O'Neill.
Rashad
Hill.
I think these are the four we thought.
Yep.
I don't see any surprises here.
No.
I actually don't see any surprises on the offensive line at all.
I don't think I do either.
We cut Colby Gossett. So that's the first draft pick I see not on the team. I assume he's one they're going to try to get on the practice squad.
Yep.
Edison did not make the team.
No, he didn't. But looks like just Brett Jones would be the only backup center guy.
Yeah, Elfline is on the active 53 because they did not put him on the PUP. Brett Jones would be backing that up.
Because if we put him on PUP, he had to sit out six weeks.
So he's on the 53. Oh. And the other guards, so you have Remmers, Brett Jones is listed as a guard on mine.
Yeah.
Tom Compton, Danny Isadora, and then center Pat Elfline. So they kept 9 linemen.
Yep.
That's what I see.
Yep, I see 9 as well.
Yeah, no big surprise. I actually think that might match exactly what we both... Besides, obviously, we had Edison instead of Brett Jones. Yeah. When that trade happened, of course.
Obviously, he pushed him out. I know there was some talk on the Twitter sphere about like potentially Tom Compton getting cut because people didn't like how he like looked and everything.
Yeah, and he seemed kind of like one of them veteran like signings that a young guy could beat out easy. Yep. But looks like he made the team.
I think it's good. I mean, yeah, he doesn't look the best, but I think honestly, I know it's kind of shaky, but I'm not too. I don't mind this offensive line group.
I think the trade for Bedjones really helped solidify some of the question marks, because you just moved from Easton to him, which I don't think is much of a difference at all. No. Easton was always kind of, I thought, our weakest link of the line.
Would it be nice to have both Easton and Jones this year? Yes, it would. Fantastic. But, you know, that's hearsay. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. What do you see? So week one with no Elfline, what do you see as the starting offensive line? Obviously, you got Riley Reiff.
I think it's going to go Reiff, Compton, Jones, Remmers, Hill.
I'm going to agree with you. Part of me wants to bench Tom Compton and maybe see if Collins or Isadora could step in there. But yep,
I
think they'll stick with the veteran to start the season.
What I would rather see is Brian O'Neill play right tackle over Rashad Hill.
Yeah,
he looked pretty good all preseason, in my opinion.
I think he did look good, Brian O'Neill. I also feel like Rashad Hill, if he hadn't got hurt, might have shown that he had improved because he did lose the weight. When he did play the last game, he looked, not the last game, but the third game. He looked good. He looked like he was fine. So I wouldn't be so fast to let the rookie take the job, but I would think if Hill has any struggles, maybe you'd have a quick leash. But I'd give him a shot. I think he put a lot of work in, at least from some of the articles that some of our beat writers wrote.
You can do a lot of things with an offensive line. I mean, it's just like a D-line. You can have a rotation. It's nice to have camaraderie, but when you've got a group of guys, like, you're unsure about, like, if you think O'Neal and Hill are basically the same and Hill's getting beat, so you throw O'Neal out there for a drive or two, like, so be it.
I will say it is nice that Brian O'Neal is showing something.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pick that kind of not a lot of people knew Brian O'Neal, project pick, but he seems like he's...
Again, like I just didn't want to go all preseason and have him go, wow, he's lost out there.
He's just getting bowled backwards repeatedly by Griffin.
Danielle Hunter and Brian O'Neill are in a complete different world.
Yeah, so good. At least that's good to know he looks competent. So, put on some weight, learn some, get your better
technique.
That's
probably a thing, though. I mean, he's, going up against Hunter and Everson Griffin, they're probably going, all right, you're using your hands like this. Like, when you see somebody go like this, this is how you want to counter this. Cause this gives
our
me
poor
a bunch
offense.
Of
like, God. Like you got, our receivers, although our receivers, I'm sure our corners like going up against how good those guys are. But like, even like, it's like Cousins, it's like, okay, I'm getting rushed by Hunter and Griffin. I got to throw against Rhodes and Waynes and Harrison Smith. Like, it's got to be so different than like if you're looking at, the Chiefs, where it's like, they got Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and their defense is just trash. So it's like their offense must just light up practice. But I wonder how that affects then when you go into a real game against a real defense. It's suddenly like, dang it, it'd be nice to actually practice against a good team because this is now
and more difficult. You got to think that's why our offense is – like that's probably why Thielen and Diggs progress so much because they're going up against Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes.
It has to help people get better to just be like Diggs going against Rhodes like all the time, like – that's gonna make both of them better.
That's how you get better. Like you don't get better by beating the crap out of somebody.
You can just stay where you are and you keep beating them up. Like back when we had Josh Robinson and Chris Cook and stuff,
of course Alshon Jeffery's gonna get 8 for 147 in the game winning touchdown with 28 seconds left.
Josh Robinson just standing next to him. Yep. All right, let's just get special teams out of the way. It's Quigley, Carlson, McDermott. We already knew that.
Yep. You knew that when
as soon as they
cut
Forbath.
Yeah, because there was no competition with Quigley, no competition with McDermott. Yeah.
And good to see Carlson come back and hit. I mean, they were two chip shots and an
don't
extra
care.
Point.
That glad helps to see confidence.
Him. Yeah. You don't want to go into the regular season with those last field goals from Denver. Was it Denver? No, he did good in Denver.
Seattle
being the ones that are like the last thing in his mind are two.
Yeah, or if he shanks these chip shots,
exactly. That would have been bad too. So.
Exactly. So I mean, it gave me a little more confidence in him.
Yeah.
It sounds like everyone's panicking again over our kicking game. Don't get me wrong. It's a little nerve wracking, but let's go 3 weeks before we start saying bring in Dan Bailey
and
let's call Kai Forbath.
Still can go one of two ways. He could be really good still. Just because he had one bad game does not mean he can't be good. Oh. But he could be terrible. We don't know. Maybe he's not a good kicker. It was a bad draft pick, But
if
one game
Stephon Diggs
doesn't
make it all, isn't good, it's a bad draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other position. We just cut Colby Gossett. Yeah. But one game doesn't mean he's either good or bad. So he had a great game against Denver where he hit that real long field goal, made every kick, and it was, it's good to see, but he then can shank two field goals. I mean, Blair Walsh was a Pro Bowl kicker for one entire season and then lost his mind. So
I mean, kickers are a little he was almost a Pro Bowler the year he lost his mind.
Yeah,
he misses a 27-yard field and all of a sudden he's no Blair Walsh anymore. Dude hit 10 50-yard field goals
as a rookie. Oh man, he was good.
Oh.
But let's head to the defensive line.
You
where we lost
tackles and ends?
Yeah, we can split it. Okay. We obviously, Robeson's gone, so that was the surprise cut there.
Yep.
We guessed, I think I had us keeping...
You had 10.
10 total, and 6 of them were defense ends. And we ended up only keeping 4.
Yes. Because
we also cut Adenabo.
Which I thought was a surprise.
That was almost not really a bigger surprise than Robeson, but...
I thought if we cut Robeson, that meant we were going
to
keep him.
Exactly, yeah. I'm assuming he's someone they want to get to the practice squad.
Yep.
I would think so far him and Colby Gossett and Chad Beebe are the three that they definitely, in my opinion, who I would want to keep on the practice squad. So, so we did not keep 6. We kept 4. Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter, Stephen Weatherly, and Tayshaun Bauer.
Yep, I think that's a good group.
Stephen Weatherly looked really good in the 4th preseason game. I kept looking up and Stephen Weatherly. So, you know, he probably solidified himself in that game. And he's someone we've kept around for quite a few years.
Yeah. Yep. He made the roster last year. He spent a lot of time inactive, but now he's the 4th defensive end. I think he's going to fit in that rotation now.
Yeah. I think Bauer and Weatherly are going to play quite a bit. So four there, we kept 5 defensive tackles.
Yep.
I had us keeping 4. We kept the 5th one, which I kind of, he was like one of my last cuts. That's David Perry, the big nose tackle.
And I think that's only just in case something happens to Linval that we wanted to have a big run stuffer.
Yeah, and Perry looked, he showed well. Yep. I thought he looked pretty good in the preseason. I thought Adenabo also looked good, so it could have gone either way.
No, I would have preferred Adenabo personally, just because the versatility inside and out.
Yeah, that's true too.
Another pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Yeah.
Sucks that he got caught.
The other 4 D-line or D-tackles. Linval, Sheldon Richardson, Jaleel Johnson, and Jalen Holmes.
Yep.
I could see maybe a David Perry gets cut and we sign Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
If anyone, I would think it'd probably be, but unless they're really worried about that nose tackle depth spot.
You know, you kind of look at the roster and I thought we might have a spot for Michael Johnson. You look at this roster and there's really not a spot for him unless you cut David Perry, you know, because I look through everyone else and I
would have to think that's an upgrade. I mean, how much is David Perry going to play unless Linval got hurt? Because Jaleel Johnson would come in, I think, before even Perry would. So,
yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't mind adding a Michael Johnson because can't he play that Robeson type role where he comes in as that third down inside rusher? And I don't know. It'd be interesting to see another guy that I think was cut for money reasons. I think he was making almost $5 million, and that Cincinnati D line is loaded.
Yeah.
So he was expendable. Their owner's clearly cheap. I mean, he dumps Ioka to start a younger guy when, you know, these players are still talented. They're just paid a lot and they want to go with youth. So it's kind of a way for us to add some talent for, because other teams are cheap and we're not. So I don't, you know, we'll see. Maybe if it's a similar situation where he wants us to just come here for the minimum to play with Zimmer, I wouldn't be against it. Cause when he went to Tampa Bay, right, for a bit and didn't go so well.
Yep.
And then we were interested in him. And he ended up going back to the Bengals. Yeah. So.
Well, weren't we interested in him before he went to the Bucs? And he went to the Bucs, they cut him, and I think that's the last we all heard of him. I think it was after. Okay.
Because I think that's when Zimmer came to our team, was during the period he was with the Bucs.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
But anyways, even if we don't keep, if we don't make any moves with him, we kept 5 D tackles, so 9 D linemen total.
Looks like we got 5 plus 1 linebackers. Because he doesn't count against the 53-man roster. We kept Barr, Gideon, Kendricks, Eric Wilson, and Devontae Downs.
Yes, which I think was about what we thought. Antoine Williams also showed a little. He got cut.
He was an undrafted free agent last year, so it's not.
Yeah, so that's not too surprising. And then this is Devontae Downs had a couple flashes.
I think he played pretty well
this year.
Yeah, he played pretty decent on special teams.
I really think Wilson's looks much improved. He's not. He looks like he's.
I wouldn't mind seeing him play in the base over Ben Gideon. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think Gideon might have a little more run stopping ability, but Wilson looks like he can run people down. He's a he's quick, you know. Yeah. So, you know, a nickel, and then if you ever do, like, he came in a few times when we had Bar on the edge and some of the weird formations.
He seems like he's got really good instincts.
His, yeah. Like, and closing speed, and he just...
You know, he plays his gaps. You know, he doesn't run around like
a loose cannon. It's nice to see, like, it's like a pretty drastic improvement. Like, last year, it's like, oh, this guy's really good on special teams, but he just looks kind of lost on defense, and it seems like he's came a long way. So if you have someone that can actually continually improve, good to see. So... No. Five linebackers, still a bit scary depth-wise.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Besides your three starters, you have Wilson and Downs.
When Brothers comes back, do you think he immediately makes the team? Or do you think if Downs and Wilson show out, that Brothers might be the odd man or, you know, outside looking in?
Yeah. Well, I think after, is it a four-week suspension?
Yeah.
My guess is someone at some point will be hurt.
Yeah.
On IR, so then you'll have a spot. If not, if it was just like this, I would probably think they would cut Downs and try to push him to practice squad.
Right on.
Would be my guess. Not that Brothers really showed much this preseason.
No, not defensively, much. But you know, he was good on special teams last year.
He's another one that's been here for a few years. It's kind of like a Stephen Weatherly type that's just been a depth guy on our team for quite a while.
Yep.
Another guy who was suspended, Caleb Jones. He will not be making the team.
He was cut immediately last night. He was part of the first 12 cuts. Him and my boy Brett Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah, we hardly knew Brett. So sad to see him go.
It's unfortunate, but he'll find a job somewhere, probably selling insurance.
Yeah,
doing something good, wholesome.
He's got other skills. Football wasn't really his game. You know,
probably not. Probably not. He looks more of a polo kind of guy. You know,
yeah.
Lungs and a horse.
He's got a great future. All right, let's hit corners.
Yeah,
let's just get it out there. Mac Alexander made the team.
He made the team, but. He's on the trade block.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. Ian Rappaport report? Yep. He said Sherrills and Mac were on the trade block. Yeah, I mean, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know why you would trade Mac. If it's true, that means that Zimmer saw everything he needed to see from Mike Hughes in the preseason to play.
I think that
if
we traded Mac, I think that would have to mean we saw everything from Hughes and enough from Holton Hill. Because I can't imagine without Newman now, say Mike Hughes gets hurt.
Or Rhodes
wins. Hoosier's nickel. Any of the starters get hurt. Now you're down to Marcus Sherrills and Mike Hughes as your...
And Holton Hill.
Because Hughes is basically already a...
Yeah,
did I say Hughes? I meant Holton Hill and Sherrill.
Yeah.
Because Hughes, Waynes, and Rhodes, or whoever starts that nickel, is basically a starter. They're in there more than the three linebackers.
Yep.
So I think you got to keep them.
Yeah.
Our corners, I mean, Sherrills again made the team.
Yep, Sherrills made the team.
Made the team. You can't get rid of him.
Nope. You looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, you cut Mac Alexander to keep him. Well, I didn't know Newman was going to retire. You know,
Sherrills. That's the point I'm making. Is I kept Sherrills.
Yeah. Well, I kept Mac, so we're even. But he'll be our punt returner. He'll be our special teams. You know, he does a little bit of gunner. He's you know, whatever. So, and Holton Hill, he didn't show a ton. He showed enough, though. I mean, his last game, he had some missed tackles.
But
he had some good coverage the last game.
And he came up on, was it the Jags game? But he came flying around on Gunner on a punt return and made a really nice stop.
I think it was the Seahawks one, too. He had one in the late that we were watching. So, and there was a lot of talk just from the local writers that he had been showing up in practice and that Zimmer clearly... He was more talented than an undrafted free agent. You know, there's a reason they gave him the max or whatever it is, the highest we've ever given to a UDFA. So that's another one. So now I think that's three or four that have made the team now of undrafted free agents.
From this year.
Yeah, just this year. I mean, you got the two running backs, Zylstra if you count him, and then Holton Hill.
Yep. And I think it's good group of corners. I mean, one of our deeper positions again.
Yeah, great group. And they're getting coached by Newman. So
yeah, it's
gotta love it.
Gotta love it. And so we kept five safeties.
Yeah,
cutting Newman gave us the flexibility to keep the fifth safety.
Yeah, and that was a big talker this week of, you know, do they go down to four now with Ioka or do they keep an extra?
Sounds like they want to use Ioka as like a lot as a sub linebacker. You know.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it makes sense to keep him. Curtis is obviously a great special teams guy. Harris can play the defense. I think he plays some decent special
teams. And it seems like what's going to happen now is Harris seems more like to me at least, Harris is more in the mold of Sendejo, and Ioka is more in the mold of Harrison Smith. So you might see if Sendejo goes down, maybe Sendejo or Harrison Harris. Anthony Harris comes in and plays more of that, you know, that roaming, rangy, you know, back safety. Yep. Ioka's more like Harrison Smith up in the box, yep. You know, going back and forth. So, and J-Ron Kearse, he's just a special teamer, you know, yeah. But he's a really, really good special teamer. So,
and I think, you know, he could probably learn a lot from Ioka over the year to potentially
same body type.
Exactly. You know, I mean, cause it's kind of hard. I bet it's hard for Kearse to learn from a lot of these D-backs because, you know, he's so tall and lanky. Like, his body works different. You know, his center of balance is different. He can't get around quicker.
Things that Harrison Smith can do. Yeah, it's like, hey, just, like, quick shift this way. And it's like, dude, my body's, like, too long. I can't, like, you know, so.
I can't quick shift like that.
Yeah, there's something that Ioka could help him with, being a 6'4" safety, you know.
I don't have fluid hips like Mike Hughes. That's his problem. Yeah.
Mike Hughes looked good. He played a lot last week, so he looked really good.
I love it. I mean, especially with Brian Hill or Brian O'Neill looking good in preseason, it's makes you so much more comfortable that you took being able to take Mike Hughes in the first.
It is nice to
you know, it kind of turned a luxury pick into like the smart pick, you know.
Yeah. Well, especially if when you looked at your board, if you thought like, okay, Mike Hughes might be a luxury, but we see him as like an, you know, a blue chip, you know, top prospect, whereas we see like Will Hernandez or another them linemen as
Corbett, all
yeah,
those guys.
like a B prospect, like it might feel a better need. I mean, that's, you're basically drafting for need at that point.
Exactly, like it's almost like the talent between Hughes and Hernandez is outrageous, where the gap between Hernandez and O'Neill
exactly like makes up. That's well, like, that's what you're making up for. That. Yeah, that's what, and like what corner would you have gotten in the second round?
Or what position? What
or yeah, different player, position?
What player in the second round can meet? Like, I mean, I don't know. And that's, I know a lot of people rip on Spielman. They're like, you know, the only guys Spielman drafts are handpicked Zimmer defensive guys. It's like, I don't think you guys give them enough credit.
And also, I hope I'm glad they like talk. Like it seemed before, like when like, you know, Childress was drafting, it was just kind of all over the board, and then it was Spielman drafting for Frazier, and it was like it didn't seem like there was. There's such a cohesive, like, Zimmer says, I want this type player. He needs to be able to do this in my defense. And then it seems like, okay, well, what can we find?
Well, Spielman, it almost seems like Spielman and Zimmer like the same kind of players, you know? Like, they're almost a perfect pair. Because you get a lot
of
GMs.
They like the athletic, like coachable. Like, that's like, what was it? One of the, I think, Ringer guys went to our training camp and was, like, really talking to our, like, about analytics and what we use. And, like, there's, like, a ton of stuff about what we just draft like athletic projects like Danielle Hunter because we trust that our coaching staff is so good that we can develop these guys.
Yeah. It's like they've got the pieces. They just need to be coached up.
Yeah, they've got all the tools.
That's why a 20-year-old Hunter can be drafted in the third round and everyone freaks out about it where they're going, well, we drafted a first-round talent in the third round, so watch out.
Yeah, so.
I love it. One thing I saw this week on Twitter about Zimmer was one of the first things he asked Spielman for was an overhead projector like we had in elementary school. Not like a big like projector for a computer. No, he wanted an overhead.
Yeah, with the little markers and the clear sheets and all that. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so that's funny. You know, still old school, but now he, I don't know, he's the right fit. Him and Spielman work well together.
Yeah, they do. They're about that. So 53-man, it's all finished. Biggest surprise? I think it's got to be Robeson, Newman.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, those are the biggest surprises. But outside of that is the fact that we kept four undrafted free agents.
Yeah. And then the two undrafted running backs was pretty surprising. So.
Yeah. We kept five running backs. Like, that's, hey, you keep your good players.
Yeah. You know? And that's, I think that is pretty much what it is. If you think Rock Thomas.
Like, you'd love to spread the talent out everywhere that you can, but.
If you do that, you're going to be cutting good players that other teams are going to go pick up, and you end up keeping I need a certain amount of linebackers, so I kept a worse player because I needed a linebacker. Yeah. Well,
I kept Terrence Newman, and Holden Hill now goes elsewhere.
And now Newman's gone after 1 year and probably isn't playing as well this year because he's getting older. But you don't have Holden Hill anymore. He's gone, you know. So, interesting to see who ends up on the practice squad. I'm hoping Chad Beebe, Adenabo. There was one other one right off the bat that I was talking about. Gossett, just because draft pick, you like to at least
develop him. I'd like to see longer. Brett Taylor make the practice squad.
Antoine Williams maybe is a good one.
Does it have anything to do with? Oh no, does practice squad have anything to do with games played?
Or is there something. Okay. There is. I don't know all the rules. Is obviously anyone undrafted or rookie this year so eligible for it, but there is some sort of games played rule. So obviously, like Kendall Wright isn't eligible for it. You know, there's no way you could put him on there. But I bet you we end up putting two or three receivers on there. Just because that's a spot that always seems to have a lot of talent.
Yeah. Any players who got cut that you think we might add to shake up this 53 man? Anyone
like outside of our team?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Johnson's the first one my mind goes to, because I think there's a chance he does exactly what Ioka does and comes here for close to vet minimum and is an immediate upgrade over, you know, even he's probably better than even just a Steven Weatherly
or even Bauer. You never know.
Yeah. It could be, you know, maybe not long term. You wouldn't want to drop one of those guys because they could be better for longer, but for this year, Michael Johnson, Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Guard
for San Fran. Yeah. Got cut. He's only 28. He was a first round pick. I know he never lived up to the hype, but I think he's better. I mean, I would have zero hesitation swapping him out for Compton. You know?
Yeah. And it's not like he's going to come in and be an immediate starter or be.
He might be better than some of the guys we've got.
It's someone to take a chance on. Yep. If you do think that we could try to use an upgrade, or I don't know how well, if he fits into our system well, if he can move well, I don't know much about him, but he is a name, you know, a former first rounder. And like you said, didn't live up to that, but he hasn't been.
Didn't he start for the Cowboys? Wasn't he a starter for the Cowboys last 2 years?
I think that might've been because of injury a little bit, but still played in games, so it's. It's a name out there that's someone, you know. I don't know if our kicker does terrible. Dan Bailey's out there.
I was kind of hoping we might get a couple more quarterbacks cut. You know, upgrade from Simeon, but the names that are out
Connor
there.
Connor Cook, Luke Falk, I think.
Landry Jones.
Yeah, like, those guys are not good.
Yeah, so, I mean, and obviously, you know, a team's gonna rather try to trade their good backup.
Yeah, it seems like a competent backup quarterback. They don't get cut.
Yeah,
it's scrubs that get cut. Yep. You know,
even if it's three competent quarterbacks, they're not gonna cut the third one.
Yeah, they end up just keeping them. Yeah,
they'd rather cut the, even if they have four quarterbacks and like one's a rookie.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Cut
yeah.
the rookie, uh-huh. put him on the practice. It just,
I mean, if you're trading a fifth round pick for AJ McCarron, there's no good quarterbacks getting cut. So
if you really think and. It's surprising that they think a fifth-round pick is the gap between the talent of McCarron and Cook.
Yeah.
Because honestly, give me either.
Yeah, either way your team sucks. Yeah. So, come on.
I'd rather have Cook because my draft pick's going to be better.
Yeah, our coaches seem to really like McCarron. Like, he's like a little
coach. I don't get it. I saw some of those throws that he made in Buffalo. They are disgusting.
Yeah, he's not.
He got beat out by Josh Allen.
Yeah, by a rookie immediately. And he was hurt and like, so I don't know.
But Josh Allen isn't good.
Yeah. Well, so far, come on now. He's a rookie. You can't just write him off right away.
I'm writing him off.
No Corey Coleman in Cleveland. Or not Cleveland. Well, Buffalo. No, not Cleveland either.
They basically, so they traded a seventh for Corey Coleman.
Yeah.
They cut Coleman. If nobody picks him up, they paid a seventh round pick and $2 million for three games of Corey Coleman.
Yeah, three games that don't count.
Yeah.
So
that makes no sense.
That's just bad. That's just, there was a bad team. I mean,
yep, mismanagement.
Bad management. Like, what are you doing? So,
I mean, I'll give them credit, though. They got a fifth round pick for AJ McCarron.
Yeah, hey.
Let's be real. Man. I mean, yeah, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, there you go. One spot I would keep my eyes on is tight end. I think we could use a. If someone gets hurt, I don't think Tyler Conklin's ready to play. So I wouldn't mind if we did see someone cut a tight end out there. I didn't see any names really.
No, but I'm also say Rudolph gets banged up for a game, maybe two. Nothing long term. I'm okay with David Morgan and CJ Ham.
You could totally adjust just like your formations a bit. You know, maybe do more 3-4 wide. Maybe do a little more H-back stuff with Ham.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, Morgan, I think, is way underrated. I think
he's
a great tight end.
I think he's probably top, you know, top half of the second tight end. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Even he's one of the best backup tight ends of that. Like, the
blocking. Everyone talks about his blocking, but I think he's so underrated in the passing.
Yeah. I think so, too.
No, he's just not fast. Like, I think that's.
Yeah. He's good.
He's a good player.
I do think it's one of the spots where our depth is lacking. That and linebacker, I could see maybe them adding someone.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think
we're set.
Obviously offensive line. But
if you couldn't make any more moves to your 53-man roster like this, I'd be very confident. I'm very confident in this roster, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's
no glaring holes.
Yeah. You know, linebacker, I feel a lot better now about our linebackers watching Wilson play.
Yeah, yeah. Going into it, it was like none of these guys that play D, he's now, shown a lot, so I like that.
And he got Ioka.
Yeah, he can shift down there.
We had two glaring holes that we saw pre training camp, and it was line and linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker's now gone, and like you said, you know, feeling pretty good about that offensive line group that we have. I'm not going like, oh, you know, we're top 10, but I think we got a solid.
It was kind of like a roller coaster because it was like all of a sudden, you know. Remmers is hurt. Easton's gone.
Well, yeah, it all happened at once.
It all happened at once. And now it's kind of coming back together. We add Brett Jones. It just seems like it's... Well, and we'll see who ends up, you know, meshing as the starting five and see where it goes. Obviously, like, your team isn't... Just because this is your roster now doesn't mean by, you know, October, things haven't changed. You know, rookies haven't shown up. Players haven't got... Yeah, exactly, you know. There's still so much more to happen, so... otherwise, we're probably going to stop it here. And then later on, we're going to record a special edition fantasy football podcast that's mostly based on our own league.
Yeah, so. It won't be like, here's our top players that you should draft and everything. Yeah, like, no.
We play in a very intricate dynasty league with salaries and...
It's so much fun.
It's the best.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you can listen to it if you want.
There'll be like a lot of just general fantasy talk because we're going to be talking about the rookies and players. Yeah. But it's going to be in the context of our crazy league.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun listen. We're gonna have a guest star, I believe, Ben Sullivan.
We're hoping, yeah. Hopefully he doesn't back out, you know. He's a little shy. I don't know if people know him. He's a real quiet guy. He doesn't say much, you know. So.
But I think it's something he could get into. Loves the football.
I texted him this morning because I saw that you sent me the Khalil Mack thing.
Yep.
And I texted him. I was like, oh, Bears got Khalil Mack. He just sends back. He's trash. All right. Yes, he's trash.
Yeah, not a good player.
Yeah,
no,
Khalil
not
Mack,
scared.
Not good.
Not,
Ben says he's not good.
The Bears overpaid for Khalil Mack. There, I said it.
Oh, trash. No, his other thing he was actually cared more about was that Corey Coleman got cut because we just traded him to you in fantasy football. He was all jacked up about that.
Yeah, so. But I got 3 third round picks. He's gonna be the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I got $30 of dead cap off my roster, so I'm happy with it. So, all right, well, we'll wrap up here, and we'll I'll try to get this one out right away, so people can.
Yeah, right on.
And then the second one I'll put out afterwards. So we'll see. I don't know, next week.
Right on. See you guys.